There's an old wives' tale. There are actually many old wives' tales attached to that iconic children's story by Shel Silverstein. And one of them is that Shel Silverstein grew up with his family as a part of the Jewish tradition. And so as a young adult, that was his first chance to actually hear about, and he actually read about, the story of Jesus, because he didn't really grow up with that story. And so he was curious and read the story of Jesus in the Gospels, and that book was his response. Isn't that interesting? A way of seeing one who comes for the sake of love and gives it all away for the sake of love. When Jesus told the story of the widow giving her all, he said it in a context, and the context was that he was noticing more and more around the places that were connected to his own religious tradition, the leaders were unjustly hoarding more and more of the resources for themselves in order to build up more opulent spaces for them to meet, and maybe to purchase some more opulent wardrobe to build their own sense of esteem in the community and maybe within themselves. And that they were building their own image and the image of their religious tradition according to how much they had. And so then there they are at the temple, and Jesus is just watching. And he sees this woman who has lost her husband and who has seemingly almost lost it all, apart from her children, apart from her loved ones, and apart from two coins. And she plops them into the container. And it's an interesting way that they had of receiving gifts at that time. It was most likely some kind of metal or brass container, so that when people dropped in the coins, you could actually hear how much they were giving. Not just by the amount of coins, but even by the weight of the coins. We know in our culture that a penny weighs less than a quarter. And so there she is, dropping in her two pennies, or two half a pennies. And Jesus makes that observation that she has given more than everyone else who's gathered at temple that day. Leads me to wonder, wasn't that a bit foolish of that woman? If that is truly all she had to live on, how was she going to feed her family? How was she going to provide for those who were depending on her now that she was a widow? Where was that provision going to come? And yet she lets go and she plops it into the dish. And some questions arise. One would be, is this really about the attitude of her heart in her giving? And so, is this story for us about our attitudes in our hearts in response to how we give away our time, our talents, our treasures? And yet, in the story, there's no mention made of her attitude or her motives. It's just her action. Which then leads me to wonder, is this more about what a tragedy it is that a poor person was forced to give all that she had in order to fulfill her religious duty? All because of the greed and increasing wealth of the religious leaders? Possibly. Jesus didn't romanticize or sentimentalize the woman's gift. He also didn't condemn those who gave large gifts. It seems to me that Jesus weighed the gifts by a standard that is the same for all gifts. And that standard is this: how much does one have remaining with them after the gift is given? How much does one have after we give a gift? And this image of giving all for the sake of love comes roaring back into his listeners' minds and into my mind and into our minds this morning. And that harkens me back to Isaiah and his words, calling people to allow their emptiness physically when they fast, their hunger, to connect them with the poor and hungry among them, and to respond to that hunger by giving anything and everything that they have to give. This is something that Jesus would clearly model perfectly in his own life and on the cross. Emptying your tank for the sake of love. As an athlete would say, leaving it all out on the pitch or on the field or on the court. Trusting that that tank will be refilled in the emptying, because what fills it is ever flowing. Just like a river continues eternally to flow to the sea. And trusting in that light that everything, all of life, is a gift. Kirsten and I were just down in Orange County yesterday to memorialize and to celebrate the life of a man who was a dear friend but also a mentor to both of us. He was our college pastor. He officiated our wedding. His name was Wilbur Spurgeon Centerfit. His dad nicknamed him Spud at an early age. And given the choice of the two, he chose the latter. And so we knew him as Spud. And we were in college in the 1980s, and so that also meant that there was an advertising campaign going on at that time for a beer that none of us drank, with a dog named Spuds McKenzie. And so our church college group all bought Spuds McKenzie t-shirts and would wear them as a way to celebrate our fearless and very quirky leader. And yet, as I was given the privilege of being one of the three people to share about his life and his impact, it got Kirsten and I thinking about not just Spud and his wife Karen, who had an equally amazing impact on our lives and our relationship. She was our premarital therapist. But we then began being overwhelmed as we were reconnecting with people from that season of our lives, some of whom we hadn't seen in a quarter of a century. We were overwhelmed with incredible gratitude as to how many people poured themselves into us and helped us to identify gifts within ourselves that we didn't know we had, and to give us gifts that we could then give to others, or who planted seeds within us that grew into things in our lives that we never imagined were possible. And it brought me back to that place of recognizing, like the widow did, like Isaiah and Jesus call us to do, to remember and to be challenged by the truth that all of life is a gift. And when I'm looking at my resources and saying, wow, I'm really thankful for what I do have, but I also realize that I worked really hard to earn a lot of this. At least what's in my bank account, what little there is. But the provision that's come from my family and my loved ones, and the gifts that I have been able to give periodically through my life to those who are in greater need. And I look at that and say, yes, those are gifts, and those gifts came from hard work. And then I pause and say, and how was I able to do that hard work? And how was I able to create ways of responding to needs in my life? How was I able to roll out of bed this morning and look at my bloodshot eyes and still be able to see and hear Ian upstairs giggling because Mr. Rogers was on? And to be able to take another breath, remembering that my friend ultimately perished from pulmonary fibrosis, his lungs gradually shrinking from scar tissue. And I think, who am I to say that I've earned or worked for or deserve any of this? Any of this gift? And then I wonder, what would it mean for me in my own life to give it all away for the sake of love? My time, my presence and attention, my talents. We call them gifts because they are. My treasures. Whether I have the illusion of acquiring them or not, they're all ultimately gifts to be shared. And what would it look like if I approached each decision on how and what I'm going to give by that standard of what do I have left after I've given it? Friends, when we come to our celebration of communion, we are celebrating love that gives and gives and gives and never stops giving. We celebrate the one who literally emptied his tank for the sake of us, for the sake of this creation, for the sake of all, that all might know and live and breathe and receive and share and celebrate this love that gives us life. The gifts we receive and partake of are small, a little piece of bread, a little dip into a cup. And I wonder if they are small in part to remind us of the ways that we are hungry. And maybe that hunger is meant to invite us to then remember those around us who are hungrier and who are in greater need of our attention and time, of our gifts and talents, of our resources. It's amazing how much we can actually live without. So the invitation is to come to this table knowing that you are embraced eternally in unconditional, limitless love. And to know that the one who has given all for you has given you gifts to give all to each other, to our community, to this world. Who knows? You might find that in the giving, you're happy. Amen.